Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday night, and it is time for the Weekend Wraps, surveying the squared circle. Well, I see my co-host is in the queue, so let's talk to him a little bit first, Mr. Jabron Clement. Jabron, what's up tonight, my man?
Not much.
I guess the excitement has all died down now. I mean, New York had that big opening for the MMA and down in Madison Square Garden. So, now it looks like you guys are going to have the MMA up there, but we still haven't found what's going to be happening with boxing yet. Have you heard anything new about what the promoters are trying to do, other than, Lou DeBella saying that, he would move his business elsewhere?
No, I haven't heard any more news on it. But far as the MMA, that I heard through a couple of sources that it was more like the risk and the reward situation, far as them planting in their garden, the groundbreaking. If it would have just been a regular, UFC fight, with average fighters, they wouldn't have had it at the garden. They would have chose a different venue. But due to the money that they could capitalize on with the fight, that's why they went ahead with the fight without changing the venue.
Yeah, well, I mean, it only made sense, when you're talking about New York State, you're talking about risk and reward, the thing that I'm still not understanding here is, with the current insurance, how can, and you have another show booked in upstate New York as far as the MMA, but I don't understand the variance, why there seems to be so much difference between MMA or the UFC and boxing. I mean, I understand. Is this saying that the MMA is willing to spend more money than the boxing commission? I believe the referees all had New York State Athletic Commission on the back of their shirt. If MMA can afford this, why can't established promoters such as Lou DeBella and Kathy Duva and whatnot? What's the difference in the setup where the MMA can afford to do this, but boxing can't?
Maybe in boxing there's more pieces of the pie that has to be split than in MMA.
You look at
three rounds, you got these, short fights, different things in preparation, whereas boxing, not saying one is harder than the other, but whereas in boxing there's a lot more components, a lot more people that's involved in far as training, coaches, far as media, different things of that sort. It's so much more than the UFC. So this is just my opinion. Looking at it, so many more components, whereas it's less components with the UFC, so it's easier to be able to make decisions and financially split.
See, I guess I have to ask the question, because you're talking about a sport that's basically, when you look at it on the outside, basically the even though the fighters might be shorter rounds, you're definitely subject to more violence. You have kicks, you have knees, you got elbows, all these things that you can't do and that you're not allowed to do in boxing. Do you think that maybe this is another case where, the millennials have shown us, they want more of that, and boxing is considered more old school?
Or, I mean, from the results from Tuesday, anything is possible. You don't know who's with who and who's greasing somebody palms and all of that, because this election show, anything is possible.
Yeah, let's bring our expert, our ring expert, in and have a talk with him, former heavyweight champ, Mr. Layman Brewster. Going to chill a little bit with the champ tonight. So, champ, what's going on, my man?
Hey, man, how you doing tonight? How you guys doing? What's up, Jabron?
Doing great, champ.
Champ. Like I said, champ, I hope you brought your pads tonight, because I know we're going to have a heavy one tonight. You can just get ready for that one. So I'm going to do my prim and proper, lower you to sleep and then drop the hammer. But we'll talk about that.
Right on.
I can say it was good action this weekend for free.
And there was some terrible action this weekend for free too. Some of that shit they could have kept on, So, we're going to talk about that too. Come on now. But anyway, Layman, I was just talking, we were just talking a little bit more, about how it seems that, New York State has embraced the MMA and the money that it's going to bring into the state, and it's embraced the new rules. Jabron was speaking, maybe there's more components in boxing and whatnot. But I'm thinking, I'm not saying it's the same, but I think that a guy that's fighting MMA for three rounds, I think that would be equivalent to a six round fight, I don't understand why an organization that's supposedly that small and, not controlled by anyone, just like boxing. You got one promoter here, you got one promoter there, and they get the fights together. Layman, do you think that maybe we could use this model from the MMA to our benefit in boxing, rather than trying to separate from it? Maybe we should embrace it, because it seems like it is accepted
there, and the only thing that we're talking about here is finance. Well, it seems, I mean, you know, the California State Commission's worked their things out. Washington, D.C., they've worked their things out. Maryland, I mean, you know, various boxing commissions. So what the hell is going on up in New York, man?
Well, that's a multifaceted question, in my opinion, man. I really don't know what's going on in New York because I haven't been keeping up with the politics on it. But just judging by the things that you're saying about the MMA and everything, you have to MMA is still fairly new to the world of sports on a major level. And so we say that, man, because you think about those fighters, and compared to boxers, they're not making no real money. I mean, not the kind of money that we've been making. There are not no real regulations put in there for them yet. And there's a lot of things that I man, look at here. Yeah, you know, you come out the gate, you don't say that much because what I really want to say about MMA, it does have a lot to do with race, color of skin. But I'm not even going to go. I'm not going to go there, man. I'm just going to say this. Those guys ain't making the money that the average fighter is making in boxing. And you had the Don Kings, so to speak, to step in, as far as my knowledge, and do the things that a Don King done, which made the boxing world come together to try to stop him taking advantage of all these poor fighters that he was taking advantage of and have been taking advantage of, raising the bar in terms of being wicked, you know what I mean, for lack of a better word. I don't know, man. I just think, you know, you give a couple more years, you're going to see. And I just like this, for instance. A lot of people don't want to see ground and pound. They want to see striking. They want to see MMA fighters stand up and fight. And if you look at the percentage of the fighters, like when MMA first started, it was all about, oh, take them to the ground, choke them out, arm lock, some kind of bar or something. But, man, people don't really want to see two men rubbing against each other on the ground. You know what I mean? Because they kind of look like they resting. But you get tired, you just curl up in a ball and hope that, you know, you can get your breath back. Nobody will see that, man. I don't see no dude in his drawers, basically, you know what I mean? But as far as the sport goes, man, I think it's a good sport, but people really start flocking to MMA because they couldn't make it in the boxing world. I mean, you take the top MMA striker, and put him in the ring with the mediocre boxer, he'll still get knocked out. Who have become fighters, but that was really because they couldn't make it as a boxer. And not to say everybody's like that, man, because, you know, MMA is, in my opinion, cannot take a page out of their book, because what page will we be taking out of to solidify boxing in terms of what they have going on in terms of the promotions and things like that? Because you and I both know that we all know, all three of us on this conversation know that boxers do not get the support that MMA fighters get. And I'm just gonna say it. It's mainly because of the color of their skin. I mean, case in point, my point. When Arturo Gatti was fighting, he wasn't a great fighter, but he was a tough fighter. But there's a lot of tough black fighters just like him. But every time he fought, it was sold out. Mickey Ward sold out. Every white fighter in boxing that's good, he always has more fans. He always have more for him. So, I mean, to try to take a page out of their book, you still have the fireworks and the glit, the glitter and the glitz and the glam and all that crap. But it's about Tennessee. It's going to be about fighters. I mean, about fans supporting fighters. And I just say, man, black fighters don't get that support. They just don't. And so that's the argument right there, because boxing has mainly been dominated by people of color. And not to say there hasn't been great or good white champions, but I'm just saying it's been dominated by people of color. But I would like to know what you guys think about that, because, like I say, to take something out of MMA, there are laws that boxers have, that the organization of boxing has, that the UFC don't have to abide by. You know, it's like, it's like boxing is a stepchild now to MMA, because you got the Great White Hopes out there fighting, and there's some good MMA fighters, and it's not, and I'm not trying to make this thing a race thing, but at the same time, I have eyes to see, and I'm just voicing my opinion. So my opinion don't count, and I don't care if anybody takes it, but it's just what I see. That the guy that just fought the other day, the Irish guy or whatever he is, he's a good fighter. The guy talking about fighting Floyd, but do you really think that he could even go say the average boxer? Like, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you wouldn't support that boxer, but you would support that MMA fighter. And, you know, that's all I'm saying, man. And, you know, I'm going to kind of leave it there, because I can go on and on about this, but I'm really trying my best not to say all the mean things I want to, because some people are going to be offended by what I got to say.
Anyway, I'm going to pick them up out of you anyway, so you might as well go ahead and say them. But anyway, you know, because I think what you just said, to a certain degree, is very good. But then I think the other 75 is the same line of bullshit that all people are trying to accept, because we've had numerous conversations about how the face of boxing has changed. And now our champions are Eastern European, they're Mexican, they're different nationalities. Whereas before, 75 to 80% of our champions were black, and you knew their damn name. Right now,
yep.
I probably, if I said, you know, hey, Layman, who's the bantamweight champ of the world right now, man? Who's the best bantamweight you got out there? You probably wouldn't know, and you're in the field, and I damn sure don't know, because even the Bible of boxing, Ring Magazine, has, you know, embraced MMA, and all of a sudden, you know, they have pages on MMA, and the sanctity of the sport, to me, is, you know, since we have no longer have the sanctity of the sport, or the only thing we have now is the dollars and cents, you know, I mean, you can say it's harsh, or, you know, you can come out and say what you really want to say and stop giving me that bullshit, but, you know, people don't respect boxing anymore, and people don't respect the boxing champions that they used to. They go for this flash in the pan violence, because you don't have to know who the MMA champion is this week. You don't even know. If I asked you what was the bantamweight limit for the MMA, you couldn't tell me. If I asked you what the weight limit is for a middleweight boxer, you probably know, because we have some great middleweights, but we have classes of boxers where we no longer, the United States no longer represents boxing in the world. And because of that, you know, that's why we don't send, you know, we can say that we're sending our best to these different world tournaments and stuff, but we don't put the time in to train these guys. The only thing we want these guys to do is be walking dollar machines. After they fight five or seven fights, we want to put them in against, you know, a world beater. And, you know, if they win, then they move up. If they don't, then their career is shattered. Their mental level is completely dominated now, and they end up being has-been fighters after 10 or 12 fights. And, Layman, we used to have trainers that actually put in the time and made sure that their fighter was ready. You know, look at how long it took to mold, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns. You yourself, Muhammad Ali, even through the amateurs, they had people that looked out for them and truly looked out for them as human beings. Layman, you've been through it recently. And, you know, Layman, you signed with Don King, so you ain't going to tell me that you're all content and shit. You know what I'm saying? Because, hey, I know about Don, man, just like everybody else. And I understand that that you might not want to get into that part of it, but, man, we've had some dogs, off in this industry that have really set out to run it. But now that those old dogs are gone, hey, you don't hear about, the same guys that were managers and promoters 25 years ago still control the sport. And unless you get Oscar's permission or Lou's permission or Miss Duma's permission, hey, man, you can find yourself a lot of good fighters and not having anyone for them to fight. Now, you want to give me the real, or you want to still stand behind that damn towel?
I told you it was gonna be a hard night. I'm speechless, man. You got the chair speechless, man.
Javon, you got anything you want to throw in there, man?
Nah, I'm enjoying this sparring session right here, the back and forth.
hey, Javon, you know he been in training for me, right? he came ready today. He bringing his A game today.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, I mean, now, the one fight that really bothered me, and I know this is a friend of yours, Tim, but the performance that Malik Scott put forth Sunday, you know, hey, have we really digressed this far? I mean, you know, the only thing that was missing was a couple blankets in the corner, because he was looking to lay down every goddamn chance he got, okay? You know, I mean, we know what Malik Scott is capable of. But have we gotten to the point now where, you know, and the announcers are trying to tell us, well, you know, this is Luis Ortiz. We could get him. We couldn't find a number one matchup or a number two matchup. So just so you could see him, we'll bring him in with Malik Scott and you know, just to see where he's at. Now, you know, after his last performance, which was, what, less than 2 minutes with Deontay Wilder, where he actually tried to fight, Layman, the only thing that it looked to me that he was looking for in this fight wasn't victory, it was the paycheck that he was going to get when he got back in the dressing room. Now, as a heavyweight fighter and being recognized as one that's came through the ranks, having gentlemen like you, champ, you know, talk about the, you know, how this was going to be an entertaining fight, and you know, how Malik Scott always brings his A game. That wasn't even his D game that he brought Saturday night. Well, I guess it was Friday night. Now, I'm sure during your career you fought those fights where, you know, the guys come in and they're expecting to be, you know, for you to do your thing, and you know that they're the so-called champs, you know, chumps and whatnot. But anytime you get a chance and an opportunity, especially a second chance, to fight for the title, Layman, you know, once again, it takes me back to a pride thing, man. I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to be hurtful or nothing like that, but Layman, you could have done a better job than this, than Malik did. You know, and you haven't been in the ring, you know, in a decade, and will only be fighting with one eye. Now, talk to me about the pride and what the hell has happened to the damn heavyweight division, man. Come on, I mean, you know, Malik Scott. We can go on and on, you know, with some of these powder puff punches that you know, seem to be, you know, just wanting a paycheck. But I mean, to me, this is doing more to hurt boxing than, you know, all of the other little grievances between the promoters. Because when people see that, you know, hey, this is the best that you can bring me, you know, on TV, even if it's free, people turn that shit off. Come on now. You know, like my man used to say, come on, son. Talk to me, man. What's happening with the heavyweight division?
Well, I just want to start off by first talking about that fight, man. Not even the fight. I want to talk about the fighters. First, I want to say that I believe that Luis Ortiz, am I saying that right? Was that his name? Luis Ortiz?
Yeah.
Okay, I believe he kind of got exposed a little bit because he did not look good against a guy that was in there to survive. I know he was a crafty guy, but I also know when you cut a guy off enough, he can only run but for so much, and he didn't compromise. He was throwing, and it's crazy because my wife, who I've been married to for 16 years, who knows this game, was the first to say, baby, I want to turn off the TV. And I couldn't even argue with my wife because this is boxing, because she usually want to be like, hey, the fight is on. I'm recording it. And this is my wife who tells me about the fights and want to sit and watch the fights even more so than me. And for her to tell me that, you know, I was like, wow. It's really an injustice to the sport. It's a black eye. It's a shame. And it makes boxing look bad in all ways. Because you mean to tell me that you come live on HBO from Monte Carlo and this is the best fight you could put on for the people? And so, hey, don't get me wrong. Yes, he is my friend. But we're talking business. So business-wise, what I saw was a guy who came to the ring, but his heart never, I don't know if his heart even went to Monte Carlo. I don't know if he left it in the locker room. But he at no point tried to win the fight. I mean, it hurt me as a man. It hurt me as a champion. It hurt me as a black man, because here's another black man from America trying to represent. He's not representing me. He's not representing what the true heavyweight of America was all about. And it's like it's a black eye. And, like, I dog in there want an apology from him, and he's my friend. But you don't do that, man. You don't go over there. You don't go over to another country on HBO and stink up the place like that. You just don't do it. Now, Mr. Ortiz, you know, I say that he was exposed because you had all them amateur fights, and you mean to tell me you didn't know how to cut the ring off enough to break this dude down? You mean to tell me you didn't know to go to his body early to keep him from running? You mean to tell me you didn't know the loopholes to make him drop his hands? You didn't know how to punch him in his forearms, making his hands hit his face enough times over 10 rounds to make him not even want to hold his hands up? Like you are not the fighter that everybody thinks that you are. Now, you could put this dude in the ring with a Deontay Wilder if you want, but he going to get stretched. I'm going to just tell you that right now because he's a 1-2 puncher. His defense ain't that good. And he's slow as can be. He'll never stand up to a dude like Deontay Wilder or Anthony Joshua or anybody like that. Now, up until this point, I've been thinking, oh, because everybody's been saying, oh, he the truth. No, he's not the truth. He's not the truth. At the end of the day, he's going to be a number one contender. And if he closes his eyes and throw a Hail Mary, he might win a world title, but he's not going to be on his ring savvy. And I don't want to discredit the dude because, listen, it takes a lot of heart and determination to get in the ring, period. But I'm just saying, fighting a guy that he just fought and Malik Scott, he was supposed to knock Malik out. And I ain't saying the first round. I ain't saying the second round. I'm just saying there's no way on earth that dude should have made it 10 rounds because Malik Scott really – He fought like he was scared. He fought like, you know what, I'm getting a good payday. I'm getting seen on HBO, and that's enough for me. You know, it was a black eye, and whoever it was that went out of their way to bring his money to the table to get him to come fight, I hope they can get a refund because that dude hurt, man. Like, that is a setback, and it makes the sport look bad. Now, as far as the heavyweight division is concerned, we cannot hold Malik Scott accountable for the heavyweight division. I think the heavyweight division is doing just fine in terms of the champions that we have out there. And I'm really looking forward to these guys one day unifying the titles. And I believe that other up-and-coming fighters are going to be coming out the woodworks here within the next 2 years. And the heavyweight division is going to be as good as it's ever been, with the exception – everybody's going to be bigger than they was when I was fighting. Just like I was bigger than the guys they was fighting in the 80s, and the guys in the 80s was bigger than the 70s. So I think that what's going to happen is you're going to see different techniques, different methods, different styles from the trainers like John Scully and people like that who they learn from old school trainers, but they're adding their own shine, their own spit, their own tactics, their own mentality, their own experiences to this modern day boxing, because, you know, as great as Joe Lewis was 190 pounds. As great as Rocky Marciano was, he was 180 pounds. You know, as great as George Foreman was, and in his prime, he was 225 pounds, and they thought he was a big man. That's small in boxing. Things have to change. No, you can't use the same techniques you used back in the day because, you know, now the gloves are, the thumbs are sewn down. Now they're not using horse hair. You know, now they're not using adrenaline. So everything has changed. You know, the canvas is different. The point I'm just trying to make is that instead of us looking at what yesterday was, let's look at what today can be for these new breed of fighters, these 6'8", 6'7", fighters, because that and I've been saying it's the era of the tall heavyweight. You take a guy like Ortiz trying to fight a guy, you know, 6'5", like, you know, 6'8". You see he's slow. He's slow. He plies with his feet. He's flat-footed. He don't have no speed. He don't have no mobility. He's like a tank out in the open fighting against one of those, the tank busters. You know, that's basically what he is. Yeah, he's going to open against the average fighter, but when we talk about a Deontay Wilder or Joseph, and I don't even know about Joseph Parker, but I'm thinking about the other guy from England that has this title, even though Vladimir Klitschko, even in his age, because he's bringing experience in size and strength to the table. So we still keep him in as a factor. But, man, the heavyweight division is going to be fine. That's all I'm trying to say. But now I have no excuse for this fight this past weekend. It's a disgrace, and I think he owed the world an apology. That's just my opinion. I hope that if he continues to fight like that, I hope that he'll be fighting club shows. That's all I got to say.
Jabron, you want to kind of, you know, finish out the conversation, and we'll talk about some other things. We still want to talk about the Danny Garcia fight. Keith Thurman, kind of look into a preview of them. So you want to kind of wrap it up on that side? I know Layman and I have been kind of dominating the conversation, so. You want to give us some comments or observations?
Just a little casual fan viewpoint that I've been watching Luis Ortiz. I could say for his last four or five fights, I've been watching him. And, Champ made a good point. You know, he should have finished him off, but far as the type of demeanor, the type of fighter he is, watching him over his fights, he's the type of fighter that he's more energized when you're engaging with him. So it's like with Malik not wanting to fight, and anytime Lewis would punch him or hit him with any solid shots, he'll fall down or hold on to him. Or, you know, I saw one time where Ortiz punched him in the mouth, and then he went and grabbed the back of his head. Like, that showed me that he didn't even want to be in the ring. So, and you've seen the frustration on Ortiz because he wants to fight. And if you watch this fight, when you engage with him, he start to bounce on his toes and stuff like that. But when you're just running around, he's just going to be flat-footed and just standing there waiting for you to engage. Now, a fighter like Wilder, where he's longer and he's faster, but I feel that also Dante is vulnerable to be countered also. So I still think Ortiz could play a role in the mix of the heavyweights with Joshua and Fury and Wilder and Parker and Price and Stavern. Is, you know, I think he still will be all right in the mix. He's getting back in the ring December 10th. They're trying to get Ortiz on the undercard of the Joshua fight. They just need to find an opponent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you say, you know, it wasn't so much, you know, that he did anything wrong. It was just, you know, the demeanor of Malik and the performance, and, you know, I mean, I even think, you know, to some degree, I think, you know, the referee also played a part in that, you know, because, you know, he always had a comment, but he never seemed to have a solution. Kind of leave that one behind and talk about what were some pretty good matchups. I thought even the prelims were, you know, good fighters, young men, Mr. Hurd, Swift Hurd, we've had him on the show before. There was another gentleman that was on that card that's been on the show. But Do you think that card was successful as it was because of the bullshit that was on the night before? I mean, you know, do you think that boxing fans, not only was it free and it was Danny Garcia, and I understand all that, but do you think that people wanted to see that fight, especially, you know, by being Danny Garcia, of course, Keith Thurman being present, and actually just wanting to get the bad taste out of their mouth for the fight that they had to go watch the night before? Do you think that had anything to do with the audience, or do you think that was just because it appealed to boxing fans as, you know, one of the biggest fights after seeing Keith and Sean Porter? You want to start with that, Javon, and then we'll talk to the champ.
With the crowd on that card, it has a couple of things to do with it. You know, it's Danny Garcia hometown. Then the fighters that was on the undercards, they wasn't bums. They was a good fighters. And those fighters do have following. I know Hurd, he has a following. And the Antonio Douglas and Javier Fortuna, you know, those are action fighters, not A-class fighters, but, you know, they will put butts in seats like that. You know, I know they have a little following. So definitely, and the aspect that it was supposed to have been a lot of celebrities in the venue, possibly Floyd supposed to show up, Thurman, a lot of different other fighters supposed to have been in the building last night. So it had a lot of different aspects that led up to the audience output on the fight. But overall, it was a great fight. Great fights. Not so much the Danny Garcia fight. I mean, you just saw what we thought was going to happen, but the undercards were great action. We got to see a fighter get off the canvas and get up and win a fight. So, hey, you can't be mad at free boxing.
Layman, you know, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Dan Raphael's article and, you know, the lack of PBC schedule and whatnot. Now we, you know, PBC has announced their card for next year. You know, I mean, it seems to be pretty full to me. All good bouts set up there. Layman, do you think that we are going to hear fighters and promoters become softer toward PBC, you know, due to the, I mean, you know, if you don't have a New York market, you know, and PBC could bring in shows, you know, from anywhere, Connecticut, you know, D.C., you know, Vegas, of course, do you think that they will have to deal with PBC more amicably in order for you know, for us to be presented with the best product? Because you know, I don't think that we're going to accept you know, some of the fights in 2017 that we've allowed or people, you know, have seen to want to shove down our throat in 2016. What do you think? You know, the effect is going to be on PBC in 2017.
Well, I mean, I think people have to be a little more nicer to PBC. Al Heyman, the man, and you know, they say that the thing about it, and it's myself.
You're breaking up, man.
Can you hear me now? Am I still breaking up?
No, you're all right. Go ahead.
All right. I was saying that the truth is something that you don't have to defend. You just put it out there, and Mr. Heyman has done that. And at the end of the day, you know, the light always shines. And at the end of the day, PBC, because of our Heyman, is going to be shining, and it's going to be standing there. And so everybody that's throwing dirt on PBC, they're going to regret it in the end, man, because they've not done anything to anybody other than stay in their own lane and do the best they can with what they got. And they've been doing pretty good. And as you say, they got this lineup for next year, and they're going to come out the box swinging. They're going to be bigger, and they're going to be better. And, you know, I just hope for the sake of the sport to continue to – for the sport to grow. I just hope that people will recognize what PBC is trying to do in helping these kids, man, instead of hating on them, you know, because, like I said, you can't find fighters that got any bad qualms about PBC. So why would anybody else care? I mean, because they're bringing you quality shows. You're not seeing – one-sided shows where we know who's going to win. You know what I mean? Like, you got the guy in the red corner because he's there to get knocked out. No, you don't know who's going to win because both of them got great records. So, you know, they're bringing quality back to the world, man, boxing. And instead of hating that, I hope people would actually support that, man. So that's my wish. Because if you don't, I just say you'll be sorry, because they say the first will be the last, and the last will be the first.
Javon, any comments about you know, PBC and your thoughts about you know, where it's going to end and where it's going to be in 2017?
I think it's going to be all right. I mean, I've seen the lineup so far. It's looking like they're trying to stay busy, but the same thing happened last year also. You know, they came out, we had a steady schedule up through the summer, and then it kind of died down in the middle of the summer up until now. We just got a couple of fights the last couple of weeks, but, you know, like I said, I mean, it's only on its second year. We just got time will tell. You know, I think it's going in the right direction, so just keep our fingers crossed and wish for the best.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of call you out on this too. I didn't punch the champ in the mouth tonight, so you might as well get your left hook. You know, I appreciate you being politically correct, you know, and trying, you know, to give an answer that you think that all of us are going to accept. But look, man, we've talked about PDC, we've talked about Dan Raphael, we've talked about Mr. M, we've talked about Golden Boy. So, you know, let's take the blinders off, you know what I'm saying? And you know, you can cross your legs and lay back and you know, get relaxed and take that white mask off and tell me what the hell is really going on. Come on, you're up there in New York. I mean, you know, you guys, it looks like, you know, Barclays Center and Madison Square Garden are just going to be concrete arenas for basketball. You've got, you know, local gym clubs down here. I mean, you even go to one of the best gyms in New York. You're getting ready to move. I mean, you know, what does this do, you know, when you only have PBC there and you don't have the cooperation, and yeah, I'm going to say it, of the goddamn white people that control the sport. Now, you can give me all that bullshit about, oh, yeah, we got a nice schedule. And, yeah, you know, well, PBC is making great strides. You know, come on. Now, look, ain't no white people here. Yeah, we ain't on the plantation. You can talk. You can tell us how you feel. Okay? This is my show. So, you know, you ain't bound by nobody else's regulations. You know, so if you say something, you know, that you feel uncomfortable about, that's fine. You know, keep it to yourself. But if you got an opinion, man, you know, give it to me. This, I think, is what's wrong with so many of us, that we want to be so politically correct and not make ways, but yet the sport that we want to watch, man, you know, come on. Didn't I remind you one more time of the bullshit we had to watch? Luis Ortiz and Malik Scott? I mean, you know, and then the next night you have PBC, but then Monday or Tuesday, you know, you're going to have Ring Magazine talking about, well, you know, the quality of the fighters wasn't that good, and, you know, let's just see what PBC has to offer. Come on, man, talk to me. No, don't give me that bullshit. Tell me what's on your mind.
No, the thing is, I'm not just looking at right now in the moment, just like the Danny Garcia fight. Like, the average fan will look at it and be like, oh, you know, they want to see him in there with a top fighter or this and that. But I understand that he's been out the ring for almost a year. That was to get some ring rust off, to get him sharpened for a bigger fight down the road, which is going to be the Keith Thurman fight. So, So hold up. Say that again, champ.
He ain't going to beat Thurman.
Oh, no. But, you know, that's what's been going on lately. We've been getting a lot of these in-between fights because, you know, there wasn't a relationship, a good relationship with some of the managers and promoters in the past, and it seems like now they're starting to step across the aisle to get some of these fights made, and I'm excited about it. I'm, you know, the next year or two, we're gonna see some fights that we've been dying to see, and I'm happy that these guys are, you know, building a relationship. Al and Bob and our buddy across the pond there. Eddie Hearn. Yeah, you know, these guys are trying to keep these guys active and then make mega fights eventually. You know, you see, prime example, you have Kell Brook, who is not stupid. Everybody looked at him like, oh, he's scared of Errol Spence, but dollars make sense. He's like, well, why should I go and kill myself to make weight to get down and fight this fight if I can make other mega fights? And just like now, he asked, what was it, the IBF to give him a 60-day extension on having the title. Why? Because he wanted to try to make a fight with Amir Khan or Manny Pacquiao, which is going to put more money in his pocket than going out fighting a young lion like Errol Spence. But he said if he have to defend his title and he can't get Amir Khan or Manny Pacquiao, he will defend his title. So, this is why we are here, to educate the people so they can have a more understanding of why some of the things that go on in the sport.
Precisely, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, this is what we want to do to let the people know. But, you know, I also think, you know, that people, I mean, you know, we have so much other propaganda and bullshit being thrown at us, man. You know, I just think that sometimes, you know, like I said, you know, I understand the political correctness and all like that, but, you know, this is the one sport where, you know, I mean, that seems to be something that's just been taken completely out of, I don't know whether this is a consequence or not. Before we get off here, there's another thing that I have to talk about here, and this is something that's really kind of pissing me off, and maybe, you know, maybe I've crossed some lines here, and maybe, you know, this is really, you know, going back to old school roots, but it seems very, unapologetic to me. The way that Miss Clarissa Shields has been treated in the world of boxing. We see almost every MMA program now that has females, if not in the main event, in the co-main events. We see, Holly Holmes, Ronda Rousey, the other women that are represented in the sport of MMA. But it does, here's a two-time Olympic gold medalist, it seems to me that boxing, rather than embrace her, use her more as a trophy wife, where she doesn't really have to do anything until it's time for her to lace up the gloves. And I'm going to say, right now, I think it's purely racist. If she had been a white girl or, a European champ, which we've already had put on some of the one girl, she just did, she was a gold medalist. She just did a show over in England, or she's getting ready to do a show over in England to help raise money for the homeless in Ireland. But here's a young lady that for 2 years has been the face of Olympic boxing as far as America is concerned, because our men aren't really doing anything. Layman, we're going to have a conversation about that sooner or later, too, because I think that's, even though you guys are putting your time in, I think we need more participation from champions. And, there was some little kid in sixth grade, man, that was looking up to you when you were heavyweight champion. And even now, saying, hey, I got to get to the gym because, Layman did it, I can do it. That's just the way things used to go back in those days. And, I think we've lost that. And, I don't know, Layman, maybe you can give us an answer here, man. Do you think that it's anything other than racism that is the reason why this young lady is not getting her proper support?
Well, thank you for shooting that to me, man. Cause I definitely wanna talk about that, man. First thing I wanna say to you, and I was fixing my lip, my mouth was watering, I've been swallowing the whole time. Because my answer to it, just like you say, let's put it out there raw, man, she got the wrong complexion for the protection. If she was white or if she was even light-skinned, a black woman, she would get a lot more exposure for her success. Okay, let's just say, man, given the benefit of the doubt, I'm going to say first Olympic, maybe didn't get her props. But then a second Olympics, the second thing is that she's not controversial. Now, if she was to sell her soul and let's say she became a lesbian or she started doing stuff, a bad picture to the media. The media, first of all, the public, they don't want nice people. They don't want nice guys, nice girls, nice guys. They don't want people that are law-abiding citizens. They don't want people that eat at the table and pray and dress nice. No, they want raggedy people, people that want to be seen out at the club, making it rain, their homeboys, and they fighting. They want to see ratchetness. They want to see wickedness, man. And that's what this world is, man. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it, like you say. Now, if even with her being, I guess you want to say a minority, a black person, a Negro to be specific, she still would get some type of accolade if a style that was controversial, because the devil loves that, so he rewards his too. You know, when you see these cats out here living a life that's not, they get rewarded just like God rewards his. But because she's out there trying to do the right thing, she's trying to be a positive role model, you know, she got two strikes against her. First strike is she believes in God, she got morals and values. Second strike, well, I guess that's three strikes because she's black. So that's two strikes against you. And she's a woman. So, you know, when we chop that all up, man, it's like, who going to give her attention? And, you know, because black, as you know, black business owners don't support their own. We'll go give our money to any race, every race, but our own people. You know, we won't support them because we don't want to see nobody get ahead, because that's the way that we was brainwashed into feeling, thinking, and believing, you know, the divide and conquer thing, light skin versus dark skin, house nigga versus field nigga. So at the end of the day, yes, it's racism, and because, you know, she got morals and values, and those are recipes for success in the eyes of God, in the eyes of goodness, because she is inspiring so many people on a positive level. But don't nobody want that, you know? People want that raggedy raunchiness. You know, they want to see her in the club with her arm around another girl. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the world wants to see, man, because it's all biblical. But I'll stop there.
Okay. Your brother?
Yeah, I already spoke about her before, that I felt that it was a lot had to do with race. If y'all want to see her on televisions, on a lot of stations, all she got to do is get like a DUI or something. Oh, she'll be on everybody's station and on everybody's tabloid and front page.
Exactly. Exactly.
I know I'm taking you guys over a little bit, you know. Like I said, you know, I mean, some things I just think that we need to talk about, and I know, you know, a lot of people are afraid to talk about them and don't want to talk them in the right context, but, you know, I've kind of gotten to the point, you know, well, I've been here a long time. I guess everybody around knows that, but you know, I can't be anybody else but me. And you know, I mean, sometimes that's harsh. Sometimes you know, it comes off, you know, in a very kind of hard way to swallow. But you know, consistency. I'm probably the most consistent person that you know, because if you ask me something, I'm going to give you my opinion. If you didn't want my opinion, don't ask. That's why I want you guys to feel free. You know, that's why I invited you on my show, and that's why I feel comfortable no matter what subject we bring up. Now, that's not going to say that I'm going to agree or disagree with everything that you have to say, but I think at least the idea of open conversation should be addressed, and it should be on a platform where you don't have to feel, you know, that your tongue is tied. With all that being said, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. I know, Layman, you know, you can take some time, you know, go to the wife, tell her, you know, you need to be massaged, because I know I dug in the ribs tonight. So,
oh man!
I'm gonna have to
rub some alcohol on this mosquito bite I got.
that must be from where you fell asleep watching Miss Malik Scott.
Ha 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 ha.
for the night, my man, and, you know, then we'll pass it on to Jabron.
Well, cool, man. Thank you as always, JK, man, and, you know, thank you, Jabron, for just, you know, hanging there with me, man, and educating me on the millennials because, you know, it's amazing. The amazing thing about life is that you always learning, and you can learn something from anybody and everybody if you just pay attention. You know, it's like you can't learn and have your mouth open at the same time, but to have a person like yourself, Jabron, who, you know, you speak very intelligent, man, and I look forward to being on the show to just hearing what you got to say because you always got a good outlook, man. And, you know, JK, man, you like that tree, man. You know, they say that the older the tree, the more rings it got, and every ring you got, man, and you just got a lot of knowledge, man. You're a true OG. I appreciate always being able to come on the show, being able to keep it real, which is the greatest feeling in the world is I can lay down at night knowing that I got to speak my heart about the sport that I love, about the sport that saved my life, about the sport that can save and that has saved the life of a lot of people, man, and made people. Muhammad Ali, as great as he was, as great as he is, because I say is because he's still alive as long as we're saying his name, he wouldn't have been Muhammad Ali. He probably would have stayed Cassius if he never would have became a boxer. If no, you know, so I say that to people, man, because they don't understand how significant boxing is because it teaches you to believe in yourself to the point where you can change your name like Ali because he had enough confidence in himself. He had enough confidence in the God to take that step out there of faith, man. So I just want to thank you for allowing me to be on your show, man. You can follow me. It's Lamon. L-A-M-O-N, Brewster, B-R-E-W-S-T-E-R, and you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Facebook, shoot, man, you can find me on Pinterest, you know, I'm that guy, so yeah, man, thank you for tuning in every week, and I hope that you'll continue to support this show, man, because, I mean, unless you want some Hollywood talk, if you want Hollywood, you can go somewhere else, but we keep it real, so, you know, we ain't going to play with your ears, we're going to break it down. So that's what I want to say.
Hi, bro. Well, hey, man, you keep, you know, those that want to have some knowledge, make sure that they follow your page because you put it out there. A lot of people, like I said, you know, whether you agree or not, you know, go and collect the knowledge. You know what I mean? You know, you can do what you need to do with it later. But collect the knowledge, you know, and you know, don't just you know, be led blindly. Be able to make your own choices. With that said, thank you so much, Champ, and Jabron, why don't you give us your last thoughts for the evening, my man?
Yes, yes, yes. Fight week, fight week, fight week, fans. The fight we've been waiting for, Kovalev and Ward, this week. Support, hit your local cable provider, support the fight. If you're in the area, go to the fight, go to all the events, support the sport, what we need. Wishing everyone have a great week. Thank the champ, as always, for giving his insight, his experience. Thank you, JK, for just being who you are and real to yourself. And with that being said, you can find me on Facebook, Jabron, J-A-B-R-A-N, Clemon, C-L-E-M-O-N. And when you feel like you ready to give up, just remember, you might give up, but you never give in. Let the people know where they can find you, J.K.
You can find me, James E. King III, on Twitter, also known as West Coast Steeler Fan. We do have a presence on Facebook as the weekend wrap. It's on the Pugilist Corner page. You can also check out me and Jabron Tuesday. We'll be talking to some young fighters, most of them from Fight Night at D Quad coming up this weekend in Las Vegas also. So, yes, make sure you follow us, and don't forget to follow the champ, and thank you so much for letting us into your living rooms and your headphones, and we shall see you next week. And don't forget to catch us on the Pugilist Corner. Have a great night, everyone. See you next week.